Services, Blavazzi and Boo1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 242. I'm Adam and the Doctor, Nosy Parker. It's Debbie Melrose.
Isn't this exciting?
Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time.
And Mary Lang.
I can't do this anymore. Well, not the way that you do it.
Oh, please, Mary.
Please, Mary. No.
This is my last hurrah.
Oh, no.
Oh, good Lord.
No.
So, anyway, this week we're looking at... What's the title of the thing again?
Mummy on the Orient Express.
Yeah, the microphone's there, dude.
I'm sorry.
What happened to the Egyptian princess?
What Egyptian prince? What are you on about?
Originally it was an Egyptian princess that the phone call at the end of the one story many, many years ago.
Yes, yeah.
And now it's a mummy instead of an Egyptian princess. It was at the end of the Big Bang. The 11th Doctor... said an Egyptian goddess loose on the Orient Express in space.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Goddess, not princess.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well done, Kirby. Right, so if we can get this up and running. Doctor Who, here we go.
Doctor Who? Never heard of it.
Yes.
66 seconds.
It starts with, the old digital clock flicking up, which I thought was a bit annoying. Initially, I thought it was a bit annoying, but
yeah.
It does
old
actually.
Oh,
But it, obviously it does.
I love the little flip numbers.
Yeah, I like that.
I remember clocks like that.
I like the retroness of that.
My clock's like that at work, actually.
But, in theme to the story, actually, I quite liked it, obviously, as the story developed, but initially it annoyed me. I love the opening scene where...
With Mrs. Hardacre.
Yeah, the way it's... Yeah, thank you. The way it's, played. I think that was really, really good. And
what's wrong with that man?
Yes. Yeah,
get rid of him. Yes.
Yes. Yes, this is a fancy dress.
Yeah.
We haven't done Curse of Fenric yet, have we?
No. Don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Yeah.
No.
And she was in that one.
She was. So, yeah, that's basically it. The old lady gets done in by this... monster that only she can see. Yes,
I love the design of the mummy. And did you see the making of
where they
said that the actor would come up and say, "Hey, would you like to have lunch?" while he was in full costume, and they're all looking at him, going, "You,
yes, appetizing, yes, yeah. Make mine a wrap."
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't actually see that bit. I must have been drifted off when that bit was on. I did actually see the extra, but I didn't see that bit, or I didn't remember it because I was probably half asleep at the time. I was starting to doze off because I was watching it about 10:45 at night. Mm. So the TARDIS arrives, and I was very surprised to see Clara.
Yes, they've made it look like she wasn't in this at all, didn't they, this whole thing? And people were actually on the forums going, "Oh, I'm looking forward to a Doctor without Clara for a change."
I like Clara.
There she is.
Well, if anyone had read the little encapsulations that we got in the magazines that Debbie sent us, Clara is in all of these episodes.
Yeah,
so I don't know why.
Jenna Coleman implied that she was leaving and got coming back again.
I know, but if anybody read, like I said, the little encapsulations of the future episodes, she's mentioned in every one of them. So that didn't fool me.
Okay, well, it did me because I didn't know about that. And I'll tell you the other thing I like to mention is one. I loved her hairstyle in this, and
I was about to discuss something with the hairstyle.
Really suited her. Actually.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall to hear the conversation between them that convinced her to go on this. After her, get lost, get out of my life, get away.
Yeah, it was a bit random, but they did mention it later in the episode.
Yeah, but she was quite impassioned then, so.
Women get like that, Mary, they get a bit sort of, when they get cross, it's like they say all these things and 5 minutes later they're...
Well, as Danny pointed out, you didn't...
What are you looking around the corner? It's true, though. It really are that.
It was a bottle. It was a small bottle.
What do you want for tea? It's that sort of thing.
Master?
Yes?
This was the first of the 12th Doctor stories I was able to get my youngest daughter, the 17-year-old, to watch because she didn't want to give up on the 11th Doctor. she was mad that that Matt Smith left, so she wasn't gonna watch 12th Doctor. We convinced her to watch this one by showing her that the little pre-title sequence.
Yes.
But she was upset because Jenna Coleman appears to have cut her hair. I'm assuming it's a wig. But
oh yeah, it's a wig.
She's worn a couple, hasn't she, already this season?
Yes.
Yeah, she has.
And she wasn't convinced that it was changed until she saw some previews of other shows that were filmed later.
Fair enough.
So I'm just replying to a message on Messenger. I haven't seen that one.
Are we editing then today?
No, we're not. No.
Hatred is too strong an emotion to waste on
something. Right, anyway, the other thing I liked was the Doctor's costume in this particular story. I think it was.
Yeah, he's first Doctor.
The very first Doctor. Yeah. But it does look really good on him.
So many throwbacks to old Doctors. I loved it. Mm. Go ahead, Mary. That's your cue.
Well, I feel like we're doing a lot of fan pandering, so no, I don't like all these throwbacks.
So, they arrive on the carriage, and they're just after the first murder, isn't it?
This singer killing. Called Foxes or something. Yeah.
Now, this is the other thing that's... I wasn't overly impressed why they would have a train going through space, but they did explain
chugging along.
But it's on some sort of...
But it's the Galaxy Express 999.
It's running on
I used to watch that 30 years ago.
It does hark back, I know, because, you know, the Titanic as well. I just don't understand all this love of retro Earth things in space like this. I don't understand why it has to be, you know. Yeah.
Master, I have an answer for that.
Go on, okay.
It's called the BBC costume department.
And props.
Quick, we need costumes. Oh, that's very 1920s.
Yeah.
Well,
but do we have a lot of costumes?
It's okay, though. I don't mind it to a degree. I don't mind
it. I love it.
But they did explain that it's actually running on certain rails of some space or something. Then we have this logo thing of the what looks like a
monocle
or a
monocle,
from Facebook.
No, somebody thought it was a watch. It was like the Master's watch.
Yeah, some people said it's a watch.
But yeah, no, it's a monocle.
It's a monocle. It's a monocle.
It would have a face of, on it, wouldn't it?
It's a monocle. It's an eye. I see. It's like Hal from, you know, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
And of course, everybody's trying to work out what Gus is.
Yes.
He obviously works for Missy. If he's obviously not missing him. Yes.
What makes it obvious to you?
Because Moffat and we don't know who he works for.
Hey, maybe Gus is the bloke at the desk at the end of the previous, you know, the one where that
no, the guy at the desk had a different name.
Oh, did he? Okay.
I like the touch of the raspberries in the champagne. That's nice.
Oh, I missed that.
It says they're having their little tete-a-tete at the table.
Ah.
Right, so I'm just answering that one there. Okay, so this is where we find out about, and that's a lovely scene as well, because he's trying to talk about planets, and she's talking about, you know, her being crossed.
Yes.
And he said, well, can I talk about planets now?
Yes.
That was one of my quotes.
Yeah. He's learning how to get along.
Yeah. So, obviously, the first Doctor sort of costume. It's more of a third Doctor in his first year, sort of, in our first story, really. Mm.
Well, that tie is first Doctor.
Yeah, and the black jacket, and the only thing he hasn't got is the frilly shirt. He's a bit of a mixture of all of them, really, isn't he?
Well, we had
Tom Baker references last week, wasn't it? Yeah.
Tom Baker references at least twice, including his voice.
Yeah. Yes, no, that was great, because my husband didn't notice that when he's having that conversation with himself. I was like, he's doing a Tom Baker. And he's
I didn't
notice
that.
He's like, no, he was. He was doing
Tom
Baker.
Well, this one.
Yes, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking with myself, previous incarnation.
I'll have to have a look at that one. I didn't notice that.
No, it's really good. You didn't notice?
No, I didn't notice that. And then
Clara, I was jumping around the room.
Were you?
My poor husband doesn't understand this Doctor Who obsession, bless him.
So he's having this conversation with himself while Clara's having a phone call to Danny, just so as the actor who plays Danny can
be
get paid. And I do like the silk pyjamas she's got on. Very nice.
I was surprised that they both... There's these little scenes within the staterooms, and then and she has changed, and then a few seconds later...
She hasn't changed. She just has a robe over her dress.
She's got a robe on, yeah. Yeah,
she just, yeah, she just has a big robe over her dress.
We've just watched her here and here coming out of her room, and she has just literally put a robe on over her pajamas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the doctor finds some...
bubbling kit. Stuff.
The Excelsior thingy drink. And then we meet Frank Skinner...
I thought he was brilliant in this.
Yeah,
he's
very underplayed, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Master.
Underplayed.
Master.
Yeah. Yes.
Master. Explain Frank Skinner.
I have no idea who Frank Skinner is.
He's a comedian. Google him.
Google Frank Skinner, and
you'll see lots of funny stuff.
And he did Three Lines, didn't he?
Well, they weren't anything about that.
Oh, okay. It's a football anthem that was very, England football anthem,
which is still the England football anthem. He wrote it, but he's mainly a stand-up comic.
He also presents Room 101 now as well.
He does, but they won't know that one.
They won't know that one, okay.
Is there anything like Room 222?
And he's
I don't know.
Wasn't there Room 101 that he was presenting and somebody went on there and one of the things they wanted to put in there was Doctor Who or Doctor Who fans?
Yes, that was it, yeah. And not having that. No, it's where a celebrity gets to choose a few things that they want to discard, put into Room 101, you know, put into hell, basically. Yeah,
something in life that you hate so much. Yeah. Like, for me, it would be most of the items on the Disney Channel.
That's a pass.
I love the character of Perkins.
What would you put into Room 101, Linda?
Queuing.
Queuing, yeah. Moody customers. Yeah, I'm not going to ask them too because they don't understand the concept of it, so I'm going to move on.
I think I've explained it pretty well.
Yeah. All right, and Kirby, what would you put into Room 101?
What's your
pet hate?
Pet hate that you'd like to see go on?
I have
Ebola, there we go.
Ebola, let's just put Ebola in there.
It's 5:15 in the morning. Yeah.
Early morning podcast. Early in the morning.
Right.
What about you, Mary?
I'm along with Kirby. I don't do hate at 5 in the morning.
That's your quote now, I think.
Coffee with sugar in it. Right. Yeah,
maybe I should put 5 in the morning in there.
Yes. That's done.
Anyway, so.
It was worse for you. Did you ever have to get up when we were doing it 4 in the morning?
No.
Oh, okay.
You were doing it at 4?
Well, no, I was doing it.
Yeah, she's put her dress on, hasn't she?
Yeah, she changed out of her pajamas.
Yeah,
she did.
She has got her dress on now.
I don't think she ever had pajamas on. We I think she later. Just put that robe over her dress and then took the robe off.
She was lying on the bed having a chat with Danny in full silk
but
pajamas.
That was just that big robe she had on.
No, it was pajamas. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
And then she gets passed by Maisie, walking through the corridor, holding a shoe.
That's brilliant.
Because
she makes her look really mad, actually she's just going to go and break in. Yeah. You know?
And also the fact that they explained why it's bigger than it should be as well. People always, obviously they know that Doctor Who fans pick up in these stupid little details. Yeah. So they've already explained
Being cross about the T-Rex wasn't stupid.
Wow.
Well, they had to get it bigger just so it could swallow the TARDIS, really,
that was a bit on the silly
side. I love this bit when he offers him a jelly baby. That is,
I miss that,
that
one.
That was fantastic.
He's about to happen. Look, there you go.
He's got him in the cigarette box.
I missed that. I had orange jelly baby written down because I thought you might ask
that's not in the quiz questions.
Oh, dear. I had to stop and back it up to say, what did he offer him? Did that look like jelly babies? What?
And then the chef gets spun in. The chef gets
English jelly babies.
Yes.
I can't believe you missed that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm to apologize.
Kirby put it on Facebook.
Don't you read Facebook?
Yeah, he put it up.
I do not read Facebook when I haven't watched it.
You beat me to it, actually, Kirby. Naughty I was literally Kirby. About to upload it and yours popped up.
Beg your pardon?
That's what she said.
Now, the good thing about the scene where the chef dies is that the fact that you're thinking when you first see that monster approaching that woman or whoever, that all they all have to do is run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they transporter, so it transports from one room to the next. So that was really good.
It was a brilliant monster.
Well, and it didn't have to because it would go right through things too.
Apparently they wouldn't let him put it on the trail because they were worried it was going to scare people. The initial trailer when it came out for Doctor Who.
Did they not?
Yeah, they wouldn't. They didn't put it on there. No, it wasn't on the original before Capaldi season started properly.
Yeah.
It wasn't on any of the any of the trials because they were worried it was a bit too scary. But I think it's one of the better monsters so far of this series.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So they end up getting shut in the room with the sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus, yes.
Beg your pardon?
Some people complained about that conversation that they have in that room. That it's, but to me, see, they say that it's failing the Bechdel test. But to me, it's a joke about the Bechdel test.
Adam wants to know what the Bechdel test is.
He just threw that in there so that we could all, you know, ask him.
The Bechdel test.
So I'm not going to ask him.
The Bechdel test asks if a work of fiction features at least two women who talk to each other about something other than a man. The requirement that two women must be named is sometimes added. Many contemporary works fail this test of gender bias.
Aha, I get you.
Okay.
And no. But this was a joke about the Bechdel test because they deliberately say we should be talking about a man.
Okay. Anyway, so Sir Perkins soon becomes potential companion material because him and the Doctor hit it off quite quickly.
Yeah, he's already looking into it. That's what I like. Yeah. Or he's someone who's already looking into it. I think.
Yeah, I like the bit where he goes, "Can't we get a sort of a different expert or something?"
Yeah.
Yes.
We need a new expert. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some great characters in this tale. Actually, got to be said. So I don't quite understand why she went into where the sarcophagus. Was that to see Nan's body?
Yeah,
wanted
to see her Nan's body, and then she gets shut in that room.
One thing that wasn't made clear is that they got locked in.
Yeah, they did get locked in. But
did you see the picture for the Doctor? The Doctor calling. She's got a picture of a stick insect on a leaf on her phone.
That would be the tenth. That's not one of the questions. That'd be the tenth.
What is the picture?
It's a stick insect.
Yeah, it's a stick insect on a leaf.
On a leaf with a hat. Yeah. It's got a hat.
I'll take a screenshot and I'll post it to Facebook.
So 20 minutes in, isn't it?
Once they get inside that room, she kind of quickly forgets looking for her Gran's body.
Yeah. It's because they're stuck in that bit, aren't
they're
they?
Stuck
They think that the monster's in there, in the sarcophagus, don't they? So, I love the Doctor's reaction when he realises they're trapped, when she says, "I'm trapped!" And he suddenly rushes to her aid.
Just having a chat with her, la 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 la. I'm trapped! Oh, good!
It's all right, it's only bubble wrap. I thought that was quite funny as well, because obviously the history that bubble wrap has with the series. That's quite good.
Oh, yes!
Mm-hmm. I do like the fact when the captain of the train, you know, whatever he is, the guy in charge of the train, and when the Doctor says, "How many will it take before you acknowledge what's going on? How many dead bodies?" And he turns around and said, "Actually, it's three after the guard dies." Yeah, it's three. He just says it, just finishes the conversation off later, It's three. There you go.
And it doesn't take the Doctor long to realise that, in fact, they are, in fact, in some sort of lab, and most of the passengers are actually holograms.
Is he meant to be Einstein, the guy behind him?
I kind of gathered that.
They're meant to look like.
Yeah,
famous. I'm wondering if it's the same actor that they got for Einstein in that little short that they made a few years ago.
I don't know. Maybe
we'll have a look.
I don't think so, though, because I think they probably would have seen his face a bit more. But it would have made sense if it was Einstein to use that actor, wouldn't it?
It was a little odd that a lot of the. Almost no one had lines. Nobody had lines.
Yeah.
All of those extras.
Okay.
No, they're just reacting, aren't they?
And now the Doctor's explained the situation, and they need the people who are going to die to explain what the monster's doing, what it looks like. I mean, that showed the bravery of the people that are just about to get killed.
Yes.
And then, of course, when the Doctor phones up Clara and says that he's got to talk Maisie into coming along, say that she's got to lie to him. That was.
I like the fact she did it, though.
Because
Clara, because of the last episode, has become a bit. I don't want to do what you say, but she does it because he wouldn't. She's becoming to realise that he wouldn't really ask if it wasn't absolutely necessary. That's what the Doctor's about, and has been for a long time. She seems to have forgotten that.
This made me think more of the Seventh Doctor because, again, he's got to manipulate people to do what he needs to get done, but without letting them know why they're doing it. So he had to make Clara sort of think that he wasn't going to save Maisie, even though he was actually sure going to try. Yeah, I know, but he didn't. Yeah. So if he couldn't save Maisie, at least
that's brilliant.
He's covered himself. Yeah, when
it comes through the doctor. Yeah,
when the mummy walks through the doctor, his hand goes through his face, and that's another.
Yeah, that was a great shot. Yeah,
that was a good shot. And
Quell's death was really, really well acted.
But Deb, you give Clara a lot of credit, because everything that she hated about what he was doing before makes you wonder why she would agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no thought process, you know, obvious to say what you just said.
Well,
what she realizes.
Long term,
you know, so
it makes
sense. I didn't know why she would go along with him.
Well, that was it, because she's been with the previous doctors, and that's the one thing that's been travelling through
the inconsistency,
all the stories.
It's the
fact that she was quite happy for Matt Smith to do that all the time, you know, was so trusting of his doctor to do that, that sometimes she responds as she would have to the old doctor. It's sort of like tying it all together, that she will do the blind trust every now and then, but then sort of pulls back and goes, hang on a minute, you're not the doctor.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, you're a monster. Yeah. Get out of my life.
Like I say, long term it made sense, but it does make sense on the back of last week's episode.
And also, right at the end of this episode, her flip turnaround as well, I did not understand that
indeed.
Very much.
But I will say that she's a woman and women are like that.
Unfortunately, I had to agree with you.
They can get a bit cross, and then suddenly they sort of.
No, I didn't like.
And they forgive.
I didn't like
women are great.
Yeah,
great
forgivers. But on the flick of a switch like that, I want to know what she's planning.
Yeah, it was a wobble. It was a big wobble.
Yes. It was a big wobble. Yeah, a couple of episodes.
Girl.
Yeah.
It's going to come back and bite her.
Of course it is.
I'm sure. Well, I thought it was going to bite her a few weeks later after telling the doctor to go away,
and then she'd be in deep trouble and need the doctor, and then Unit might turn up or. The Master might turn up, or Missy will turn up. Yeah. You know, it's like.
Well,
it's
I'll be surprised if they don't bring Kate back. To be honest with you, they've had the Paternoster gang, is it?
And they haven't
had Kate yet. I've got a funny feeling she'll be back. But there's also a scene that I haven't spoken about where they all the dead bodies are floating outside.
That is gruesome.
Is he still holding onto a spoon? One of them, something.
Possibly.
Just for comedy
effect. That is definitely the only thing
the only thing they got
they
me is
have
when...
Shown
when
they
sorry,
have, they
no,
would have suggested it, wouldn't
yeah.
they? But yeah.
But when
they
he
would
takes
not have shown it.
Maisie's sort of...
angst.
Yeah, out of her and puts it in himself, where does it go afterwards?
He puts it back in her.
Does he?
Yeah, I think it goes back. It's like a temporary thing.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Because then she goes, I can see it again, and you're meant to think, no, she can see it again, it's run out. But no, it's when he said, I surrender.
Do you know what I think would have been really good? That's right. The mummy can't kill the doctor until the time goes down to zero.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's walking towards her. What I think would have been a really good sort of doctorish touch thing to do in regards to like the seventh doctor, because he's not wearing a hat, but to shake it. How do you do? I'm the doctor. Do that with a hat. How do you do? Shake its hand.
Well, you know what I thought he should have done was do the line from Young Frankenstein. Hello, handsome.
Hello, handsome. You're a good-looking fellow, you know that? It's one of my favourite ever lines.
But instead, he says, are you my mummy?
Yes. I'll be your victim this evening. Are you my mummy?
Yes, I loved it.
So eventually, I wonder if he's worked out a long time previous what the magic word was. I don't know.
No, it looked like he was shuffling through it, trying to work out in his huge mind.
Yeah, he worked out there was a soldier.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all the air's pumped out of the carriage, but...
They all react differently, don't they? Yeah,
the doctor
Clara's
will
managing.
Ask. They're all fainting around about the same time, which is fine. The doctor will ask.
I would have thought that Clara's still going. Would have gone out slower than that.
What would have gone out slower?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, it could be sucked out really fast. I mean, they're out in space.
Oh, he could. You think Gus could have been pumping it out, possibly?
Yeah. But anyway, the TARDIS ends up.
One thing that bothered me earlier is when several of the victims pull out guns and start shooting inside there. Well, why didn't that puncture a hole in the...
here we go. Yeah, but they're shooting along
true,
the train.
That they were shooting the test tubes instead and things like that.
I would have thought being a spaceship, that the walls, that the hull would be a bit strong enough to take a
like
bullet.
There was one internal inconsistency with the... with the train, by the way.
I'll go on then.
At the very beginning of the episode, the Doctor and Clara walk into the main salon directly from the baggage car, but then in other shots, that door goes into other carriages rather than the baggage car. Okay. But they very clearly are in the baggage car and open the door,
yes,
and they're right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, open onto it. Yeah,
yeah, there's another. Yeah. There's another continuity, a minor continuity thing. When Clara is, I don't know if she's talking to the doctor or someone, and in one sort of angle her mouth's open, the other angle her mouth shut, and then they cut back from one to the other, and she's got an open mouth and shout. Not a major thing, but it's still inconsistent.
Ah, okay. I was wondering, someone had mentioned on the forum someplace that there was that. A fairly big continuity issue like that, yeah. And that must have been it.
I don't think it's big, but I mean, it's a bit noticeable.
Well,
if I've noticed it, it's noticeable. Bearing in mind, I didn't notice
well,
jelly
yeah,
babies.
Barry, you didn't see the jelly babies.
I didn't notice the fourth doctor. But never mind. Yeah, so Clara decides that she's going to stay with the doctor, and Frank Skinner's character, Perkins,
yeah, he
decides
offers.
He's not.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, of course, Frank Skinner himself is gutted. That
yeah,
he actually,
I bet.
Didn't
yeah.
I just
yeah.
say yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't they film it where he actually went, yes, 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 yes?
I suppose he could have done an outtake, yeah. Couldn't they? That would have been quite good.
Yeah, that would have been good.
I suppose that's essentially it, really, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. She did do a bit of a U-turn, but then she shouldn't have said she didn't want to travel with the doctor after all. And I'm not even sure her reasons were right, because she said that Danny said it's all right, but I don't remember Danny
no,
saying
Danny
that.
No, Danny didn't. Danny
no,
just
didn't.
Okay.
No, because
yeah.
she made it up.
Yeah. Danny doesn't
she's
really
addicted.
Mind so long as she's there, you know,
yeah.
there when
yeah,
you need her,
happy,
really,
yeah.
you know, and just, yeah.
But she's clearly addicted. She's got an addiction. That's what we first.
Well, I don't know that Danny doesn't mind. We didn't see that he doesn't mind. All we've seen is he doesn't trust the doctor.
Mm. Yeah, but I think he's going to mind when he realizes that she's done a complete U-turn.
Yeah, mm. yeah, because he thinks she's bowing out.
It was too sudden for me. It really was. It was just, okay, I'm coming. It's like, okay,
yeah.
all right. You changed your tune very quickly there, young lady. You
yes.
know, just, well. I would, you know.
But she does ask him if what he does is an addiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's really smooth and okay with it all. And she's the one, I think, who's realizing that for her, it is.
Yes. Anyway, so that's the end of that particular tale. And therefore, I shall give you my my views on it. It's rather superb. It's, that's what I said. I don't think of the things I was saying weren't very good about it. It was only minor little things.
We've you know, covered everything, really.
Yeah, I don't think there's much. It was rubbish about it, to be honest with you. I was trying to think of something. But all in all, it paced really well. It was quite riveting. It was beautiful to watch as far as the scenery and costumes and everything. I just really liked it. I don't know if it was quite as good as last week, but only slightly not quite as good as last week. I think it was pretty rip-roaringly good. What do you think, Debbie?
I liked it as a standalone story. Mm. I liked it. It was. I know that they're going to all tie into something in the grand finale, you know, that sort of thing. It always does. This is the way Moffat writes. But I thought it was a good. I wasn't looking forward to it. I was really worried that it was just going to be a bit too silly. But I loved the science they applied to it, and just really enjoyed it. And I think it's a classic monster that really just put the icing on the cake of a good Doctor Who episode. Yeah, liked it.
Kirby.
It's one of the absolute classic episodes ever.
Did you say that last week?
Yes, I did.
I just need to replay you from last week.
I just realized I sounded like comic book guy from The Simpsons. That was
the
unintentional.
Best episode ever.
it's just this, the 12th Doctor, I'm loving the 12th Doctor. There have been two duds, and everything else has been really good, and this was superb. I that's all I can say.
Fair enough.
Okay. Drum roll.
Yes. Uh-oh.
Here's Mary.
Stand by.
Are you all sitting down?
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved this one.
Yay!
You and I are Kirby.
For me, this is the best one so far this season. And I happily watched it three times. I enjoyed it so much. It's a cracking good story. And the Doctor is right in the center of it all. Just, this is the way I love Doctor Who. He's in the center, just figuring everything out and using everything at hand. You know, brain power over brute force and all that kind of thing, to solve the mystery, even manipulating his companion, you know, to his end. And I loved it. I loved just about every bit of it. I just have two little niggly thoughts. One is, with all those experts and scientists and everybody on that train, they all just look like a bunch of frumpy, stupid, you know, lumps. Mm-hmm. They're all, you know, are staring at things rather than, I would like to have seen them, you know, being more active and maybe contributing something to what the doctor was trying to put together. But they all just stand around like lumps, and I didn't like that. And one little Clara rant, you know me, I love to rant about Clara. Mm-hmm. She has got to be the stupidest companion ever. I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, she had to be educated on regeneration and, you know, all this stuff that she should have known anyway. Mm-hmm. She actually has the nerve to stand there and tell the doctor, what? This isn't just a pleasure trip? You know, there's danger? <It's> like, what? I mean, girl, there has never been a pleasure trip with you and the doctor.
No.
I mean, just remember all those little shots we saw of other adventures at the beginning of, I don't know if it was The Caretaker or Kill the Moon. You know, this is her life with the doctor, but she stands there shocked. It's like, honey, haven't you been paying attention? But yeah, I liked that Clara was kind of sidelined in this one and not so much the center story as she has been in the past. But yeah, this, all of the other stories, maybe the last one I'd watch over again, but this one I would watch happily, you know, again and again, because it was just a delight in every way.
Yeah.
So what were you saying, Kirby?
You guys disappeared for a few seconds.
No, we didn't.
I heard nothing.
Oh,
prove it. Prove that you didn't disappear. In my timeline, you disappeared.
Yeah, but that's not answering my question, though, is it?
What?
You said Mary didn't like it.
Didn't like it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no explanation. Okay.
Well, and like the rest of you, I was not looking forward to this because it just looked like it was going to be, you know, kind of a time filler set piece, you know, and nothing really interesting or exciting, but it proved itself otherwise.
That's what I was so worried about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm wondering if the weather here is affecting my internet connection.
You got bad weather?
Yes, he got woken up in the middle of the night to be told he's got bad weather.
Did he?
Yes.
I was woken up by bad weather last week with the thunder and lightning.
That was terrifying.
It was like, it was miles away. It was like 13 seconds between the flash and the rumbles. It was very loud rumbles. Mm. Imagine what it was like where the actual lightning was. Anyway, I think we do some feedback.
I've got some from my dad, actually.
Oh, well, should we do that first?
Hang on a minute. No, you.
Ooh, cool.
I don't know.
I like to hear from your dad.
I don't know which one he's fed back about. I'm just trying to find out.
In that case, we'll start with this one. Oh, that's good. Another bit has arrived, so it's not as bad as I thought it was. Let's listen to this one.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes. Andy Unna here, 12:51 on Sunday afternoon. Just finished my late breakfast of fruit and fibre with lemon yogurt, very nice, and of course a little bit of Chardonnay. Anyway, last night's episode, well, wasn't that good? I mean, I've been reading on Facebook how many people enjoyed it, and it really, I thought it was a very, very good episode. Now, to me, it came across almost like a film noir. Tim Drury commented how darkly lit it was, if you can have such a thing as being darkly lit. But I thought that was deliberate, and that worked very, very well. So it gave it almost a feel of like, a 1950s film is that sort of thing, isn't it? I mean, guess everyone must have seen Casablanca, but it's that sort of thing. And the mood lighting really helped build the atmosphere because it made it dark and it made it not depressing, but very heavy. It felt oppressive. That's the word I use, oppressive, which helped build the mood of the piece completely. So I thought that worked really, really well. Now, not quite sure what the computer was trying to achieve. I think, say, I watched this about midnight last night after I got back from the theatre. I always do these, having watched it once, you got instant reactions, so I need to watch it again. But I thought the bit with the mummy, and you can understand how it's been taken out of phase when the doctor works that bit out, that was very clever. Because actually, you know, having an alien that only one person can see, and that person's got 66 seconds to go, it was very effective, because it's the reactions of the other people make it work. Because they can't see it, they think this person's flipped. But it's only as, you know, you get into the second, third, fourth, that people start to realise. I mean, the captain's comment, you know, how many did it take? It took three before he actually would do something about it. And then with him, and then, you know, he's got it coming towards him, and at least he's there to describe it. Though he knows he's going to die, he's got enough about him to do it. I thought the way they finish it off with the zombie, the mummy, beg your pardon, being a soldier and going off, you know, you're off duty, dismissed. I thought it was very, very clever. I didn't see that coming. So I thought that was a very good piece. I mean, the whole story itself, the setting, you know, setting it on the Orient Express, very good, because that's clever. So that's something that we can relate to now. I mean, people have already talked about, you know, it's like the Titanic episode, isn't it, that we had. Mm. It's that sort of thing. Frank Skinner, no, it wasn't stunt casting. He did play it very well, didn't he?
So Max,
you know, obviously a fan who wanted to be in Doctor Who. And, you know, it turns out he's actually looking into it himself. You know, he knows something up as well, the way he introduced himself to the Doctor. I thought that really was good. Now, I talk about the lighting. When you've got the amazing Clara, because what you've got, they've got the bright red lipstick, and that's something that does work in film noir, where you have black, but you have a very vivid colour, it's almost scarlet, and by golly, was she sent some cleavage or what? I mean, she looked very nice indeed. So I just think this is an absolutely delightful story. It worked very well with the having the people, you know, some of the people are actually just holograms, and then suddenly in a lab itself, and they've got to try and think it through. So again, I mean, this is a constant theme, and I've talked about it before. It's a mental doctor, isn't it? Because he's not a man of physical action, he's a man of mental action, and he will use his brain to get us out of it. And that's what a lot of these episodes have been about. They've been about how does a doctor think his way out of a problem, and that's what you saw here. And of course we have the Danny Pink story, that's moving on again. You know, it's there was a lot of talk, you know, would this be the last time we saw Clara, would she go off with go with Danny in there? Again, she's the first part-time companion. She comes and goes. She is possibly the first doctor who is a companion, but on her terms, which is, I will come with you if you ask me, but I decide I don't want to come with you. But I'm not, you know, I'm not moving into the TARDIS full time. So I think it's a very good relationship. It's a very good the dynamic. Thank you. That's the word. Mm-hmm. I'm getting good today. I'm taking so many good words coming out there. But all in all, I think this is a cracking good episode. You had some great bits. You had a throwback to the Are You My Mummy? You had got the cigarette case out with jelly babies inside it. Very good. Doctor's outfit. Some people said that reminded them of John Pertwee from Inferno. So a lot of throwbacks to past Doctors. You know, showing he is the summation of other people. He's not just one man by himself. So whether it was anything that really didn't work about it, yeah, I really can't think of anything. It worked well on many levels. I think the later time show, the time slot, is helping a lot. I mean, I don't know what time our Australian or American friends are seeing it, but hopefully 8:30 means they can do a darker story, and they can put more, they can go deeper, because, you know, it's not aimed at children, it's aimed at families now, but the older family as well. So I think that really does work. So yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. Really good episode. One of the best this series? I don't know. I still think Listen's possibly one of the best, and The Caretaker. But certainly better than last week. So I did enjoy last week. But, so there you go. So anyway, be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy, and more or less agreeing with what I said.
Thank you, Andy.
Did you want to do...
I'll do my dad's.
I'm going to do your dad's.
Yeah, I'll do my dad's. He is not actually enjoying the series very much.
No. Blasphemer!
I know.
Blasphemer.
He doesn't want to do it himself speaking because he can't stand the sound of his own voice. And I've told him he sounds great, so hopefully I'll encourage him on. Yeah. So
just, well, you haven't got the same...
he doesn't. We don't sound like each other, okay. No, he's got a Yorkshire accent.
Okay.
I had a thought, as you do. Is the reason I don't much like or care about this Doctor because we saw nothing of the regeneration. Perhaps there's a flashback planned, but I still remember how David Tennant signed off. He was given a chance to say goodbye, so among other things he saved Sarah Jane's son and went to a book signing by the granddaughter of the school matron he almost married in that wonderful two-parter Family of Blood. Who didn't dash a suspicious moisture from their eye when he asked was she happy? Using the same actress was a nice touch and of course a shorthand way of setting the scene. Oh look, Kelsapries, I'm writing about DT again. I don't want to go. Heartbreaking, and yes, I know it's only flickering shadows and it took a few takes to achieve the correct emphasis, but I was more than willing to be drawn right into the moment. Pulvis et umbras sumus?
Pardon?
I don't know. Which I don't need to tell you is Latin for we are dust and shadow.
Oh.
There we go. Thanks, Dad. Yeah. Thanks, Dad, showing up my lack of smarts. I remember how the monks used to thrash those congregations into us at school. Happy days. Of course, I'm going back a bit, like. There's a theory that there really exists a time core that polices the time streams, and that they have, among other things, replaced past dictators with someone far less ruthless, such as Stalin and Hitler. Makes you wonder what the original badasses were like. Just thought I'd throw that in, because otherwise I'd have to give my thoughts on the Orient Express in space. Enough prevarication. Well, there were a few good lines. Best one for me, "Are you my mummy?" It's a play on words, get it? Which had the unintended effect of making me want to watch The Empty Child again. I mean, right away, without bothering to finish this episode. At least the doctor had bothered to put a tie on for once. I can hear my mother now. He's fastened his top button and not worn a tie again. How common. Touch the bell for the maid, dear. I feel the need for a weak infusion of tea or a large gin and tonic. The captain. Oh, I know his face. Oh, yes, David Bamber, Mr. Collins from Pride and Prejudice. Ages since I watched that as well.
Oh, yes.
And yeah. Clara's still around. Strange, that. I know I'm in the minority when I say that I'm less than enamoured by this series. I feel like the boy in the Emperor's new clothes surrounded by sycophants ooing and eyeing at the Chimera and wondering what's going on. How many episodes remaining? Because I'm looking at my watch more and more frequently. Ah, oh, well, here's still all hoping. Oh, dear, Dad.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, except for these last two episodes, yeah, I would be in his camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing I think we must do when it gets to the end of the series is look at all the previous series, because everybody seems to think it might be the best one. Just compare episodes to episodes. This has been done. Shut up. Has been done slightly by a couple of other people, but I think we could actually make a little task of that. Just see if we can work out which is the best episodes 1 to 12 of series. We can't do 13, obviously, because there isn't. Well, Christmas special will.
Christmas special will
but,
be.
We're not going to count that. Episodes 1 to 12. Mm-hmm. Comparison.
I think I need to go up and watch it with him again.
Yeah.
I think he needs me bouncing in the corner, and that might help.
Got some more feedback.
Oh, Dad. Pew.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for the episode Mummy on the Orient Express. I loved this episode. Again, it reminded me of old school Doctor Who episodes where, you know, the Doctor and Companion, they go to a place. That place has some story already going on that they interject themselves into, and they get involved and solve it. You know, typical Doctor Who trope, but, you know, it still gets me every time. I still like those kind of stories. All in all, this season already has had far more episodes that I really, really liked than the entire last two combined. I mean, the last two seasons have had good episodes, don't get me wrong. But pound for pound, like episode for episode, this is the strongest it's been in like the past 2 years. You know, initially I was surprised to see Clara at the beginning. I didn't recognize her when she came out of the TARDIS, you know, in her flapper outfit. For a split second, I thought the Doctor had picked up another traveler because, you know, it's so unclear at the end of the last episode, you know, she's stopped talking to him and basically told him to go away. So, yeah, at first I didn't think it was her. But, yeah, her hair seems to be short, long, medium, you know. Her hair seems to transform just like the TARDIS, wigs. You know, in some ways. Let's see. I like the premise, the plot, the monster, the villain, whom I think we'll hear from again this season, and the supporting characters. Everyone was great and very unique and distinct. If I have any problems with the episode, it's one thing. The very end. You know, from the very beginning of this episode, Clara makes it clear that she's had a long time to think about things and that this is their last adventure together. So this adventure has been months since she's told him to clear off, and I don't know if they've been together or not, or obviously they have, because she says this is her last go around. So she's had plenty of time to think about it, and this is their last adventure together. And when she's trapped in that room with the sarcophagus with the daughter of the first victim, you know, during that conversation, if you remember, when they're talking about the Doctor, she says in not so many other words that the Doctor isn't even really her friend. I mean, that's how she feels about the Doctor at that time, you know, and also when he's trying to convince her to get the woman to come to the main cabin by telling her the Doctor's going to save her when the Doctor says he really is not, she's going to die. So her feelings for the Doctor, her animosity for the Doctor seems to be the same, which is why this is their last go-around. You know, I mean, at the very end, also, when after resolution, when they're alone on that planet, she's 50-50 in believing that the Doctor didn't let the other passengers die, whether he saved them or not. So all this is going on. And then so why, with all this, at the end of the very end of the episode, after this routine call from Danny to check up on her, you know, she does a bipolar 180 and all of a sudden is really psyched to start continued adventures. She doesn't want to leave. She lies and says that Danny, that was Danny's idea, and now he's okay with it. So she's being deceptive with him. I don't know where that came from. Maybe is she the one who's addicted? And remember before that she was saying that traveling in a TARDIS could be an addiction and maybe you should stop. When she was talking to the doctor, she maybe was, you know, talking about herself. But, you know, I just, it came out of left field for me. So I don't know what that's about. Maybe I have to re-watch the episode and maybe I'm missing something that was there. I'll have to see. But now what I hope is that since she's agreed to travel with him and she's gung-ho and she's accepted him in a sense, that she won't be so judgmental of him in the future. She knows the deal now. She knows this is who the doctor is. He is softening and he is learning, but he is the same guy. He has that streak about him that she doesn't necessarily like. So she had the choice to stop, but she decided not to stop. So I hope now in future episodes she won't be on him so much about these things because she knows what he is now. She knows what she's getting herself into. So we'll just see how they write her for the rest of the season. Anyway, but yeah, aside from that, which kind of confused me, I really loved the episode. And that's it. And I hope you guys have a great week.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
And which very nicely leads us into the introduction of Mr. Ben Shoveler.
Hello.
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 Good morning.
What, can I hear you?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear us?
Yes. About, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
problem is, right, and this is the problem, about 3 weeks ago, one of my mates decided that they were going to try and fix my laptop for me because we had a slight accident back in March or April when accidentally I broke the screen by punching it and then threw the laptop against the wall, which created a big hole in the wall.
That is a big accident.
That sounds
good. It was a complete accident. It wasn't because I just broke
a minor black hole.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend's quite good with laptops, also, he said. And he said that he'd fix the screen for me if I could find another screen. So I spent ages of trying to afford a new screen because I'm still out of work, everybody. And I managed to find a screen in one of my old laptops that looked like it was going to fit. However, in the taking apart of the current laptop, not only did we take out every single screw which held the bloody thing together, and I've still got about 80 of them which haven't gone back in, the screen also doesn't fit and isn't in colour. And now it won't close either. And what happened is when we were putting it back together, I say we, he was putting it back together, somehow the speakers have shifted. Now you're all very muffly all the time. So I could get my little external speaker, but then we might get loads of feedback. So I don't know if we should try it. Maybe I should. Then I'll be able to hear you.
How about using earphones?
Yeah, well, then I can't hear anything else that happens in the house, just in case someone knocks on the door or
I've
someone
breaks in. I've got one
ear plug in. I've got one can over my left ear.
Yeah, but that's a very unprofessional thing to do because then you get an unbalanced sound, you see.
Yes, Kirby.
Most laptops have a place to plug in an external monitor.
Oh, yeah, I've got the external monitor. I've had that for the last 6 months, which is currently sat on a... I'll tell you what, I'll take a picture and put it on Facebook for you.
In the meantime, taking a picture and putting it on Facebook, what did you think of this week's episode of Doctor Who?
Well, firstly, it has to be said, Jenna Louise Coleman has never looked fitter.
True.
To be honest with you, the episode passed me by. just staring at my telly with her in that foxy dress. I mean, good God, seriously. And the wife was out. I mean, anything could have happened. But luckily, Mia was upstairs asleep. So, wow, how fit was she? Seriously. The episode itself, I think they were on a train or something.
In space?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't pick up on that. It's so amazing what you find out.
So you missed the jelly babies
in the cigarette box as well.
I mean, with all the pausing and rewinding, it took me 4.5 hours to get through the episode. So I kind of lost track as to what was going on. It was quite good, wasn't it? I mean, it's a good story. Good acting, good script, funny lines again, like the jelly baby thing, like Clara in the dress. I would have preferred her out the dress. but no, it's good, yeah. I mean, I'm not quite buying up to all these things that I keep on reading on Facebook saying, oh, this is the best series ever.
We're going to examine that at the end of the series.
Definitely. No, it hasn't. I mean, so there have been some good episodes, there have been some not so good episodes, and Capaldi does a good job. I like him better than Matt Smith, I'll tell you that much. But as soon as Stephen Moffat goes, then I'll start saying things are good instead of okay. So no, it's okay. But I'd give the episode a firm 8.5 out of 10, and I'd give Clara 1.
All right then. So what about the Kill the Moon episode last week?
Oh yeah, I haven't talked about that one yet, have I? There were some things that griped me about it, but I can't...
Like Clara was in a spacesuit?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, what's the point? No, that was the point, right? What's the point in having Clara Oswald running down a corridor in a spacesuit? You can't see anything. What's the point?
That's about it, isn't it? Do we go back to Caretaker?
That little dress... Is this not what Doctor Who's meant to be about? Am I missing the point here? Is it not just Clara Watch? Kill the Moon.
Like it used to be Perry Watch.
Yeah. No, yeah, that was it. That was it. Right, okay. Yeah, there was the thing that bugged me at the end, right? How did the moon monster thing, whatever it was, that turned into a fly-away alien thing, managed to lay an egg exactly the same size as what it just was.
Egg expanded. Yes. Yes, Kirby.
No, it wasn't the same size that it was. Remember, they established that the moon had increased in mass, and what was left over was the size of the moon before the increase in mass.
If the moon had increased in mass, then... Laws of physics denote that the Earth would have started spinning quicker. Because
they did complain of issues on the Earth.
Well, yeah, but we wouldn't have been talking about 3 seconds a day. You know, obviously when the solar system formed, the moon was a lot closer to the Earth and days used to be a lot shorter. And so as the moon's moving away, the Earth's spinning slower, and so therefore days are getting longer. Now, obviously, we're talking about millennia, but obviously the moon, if it was any smaller, bigger or closer or further away, it would affect the Earth massively.
But also in
the tidal seasons. So, I don't buy that. They didn't look into that well enough, if you ask me.
No, it would take some time for the increase in speed to occur. And this was set in 2049. Hasn't been that long.
No. It was a good story.
Yeah, but there's technical issues with it.
Yes.
And also, the other thing is, when did the TARDIS start being good again?
When the 13th Doctor became the Doctor.
He's a master at flying that TARDIS.
Like I said, he had a couple of hundred years to work out how to use it while he was stuck on Trenzalore.
No, but it wasn't ever the fact that the Doctor couldn't fly it. He always pretended he couldn't. It was just the fact that it just did random things,
wasn't
it?
It always took him where he needed to be, not where he necessarily wanted to be.
Exactly, but now it goes where he wants to go.
It's Clara back in the plot.
Of course it was. Yeah. Oh, that'll be a Stephen Moffat thing, will it? Then?
Yes.
Forgetting about things. And where is the impossible girl? That whole storyline just seems to have been absolutely forgotten
about.
Just
the nickname now.
But it means nothing. The whole of the previous season, where it was, the impossible girl, she's impossible, she was with all the doctors. So if she was with all the doctors, how come she isn't also with the future doctors? Because she's all the way through his timeline.
No need for that.
Moffat is promising to tie everything together at some point, so...
We'll see what he does.
He's
tie everything together I tie Clara together.
I think we better wrap up feedback while we're here anyway.
Yes. Anyway, there's my review.
We got Ian.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello.
Monday was Columbus Day. It celebrates the events of 1492, when Christopher Columbus discovered Ohio. I could do
with
an extra pillow.
That's what it was called at the time, I'm sure.
And I'm very disappointed with your breakfast bar. Mummy on the Orient Express by Jamie Matheson. Dreadful food is traditional on trains. This pudding is mediocre. No, it's tapioca. Fox's things don't stop me now. And later, Clara decides she does not want to stop adventuring. The last line of the song is, I don't ever want to stop at all.
Exactly.
Clara Oswald, adrenaline junkie. No, Jack Osborne. I'd like holograms. They're from Red Dwarf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the God Complex seems to have had something similar. Clara is on the phone to the Doctor, and then she lies to Maisie. At the end, she is on the phone to Danny, and then she lies to the Doctor. This story would have been at home on Sapphire and Steel. In fact, they had a story about the ghost of a soldier haunting a railway station. The Orient Express has a lot of atmosphere, apart from the kitchen car, when they're at the air.
Perkins
reminds me of the Eternals, from Enlightenment.
Mm.
That went over Kirby's head.
Oh, it did.
When someone sees the mummy, they have 66 seconds to live. Start the clock. Nobody goes to the promised land. The Doctor says, "We surrender." He did that in Robot of Sherwood. Mm-hmm. The old lady thinks she is in loco parentis, or something along those lines. The Doctor has a cigarette case of jelly babies. The Doctor is drawing in the sand, as he has no blackboard. 30 seconds. Pink is the new black. Danny Pink is the new Black Guardian. Only kidding. 20 seconds. Bubble wrap is traditional on Doctor Who.
Yes.
Capaldi is the Flying Scotsman.
Oh.
The story ends with the Doctor on a beach again, like last week. Does Moffat have a beach agenda? Do I have an agenda? Agenda. Bye for now.
Brilliant.
Very good.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
Master.
Yes, Kirby.
What was the sound clip at the end?
It's
from a TV show called Countdown,
yes,
which is a words and numbers quiz game, and that's the little clock they have running for 30 seconds.
Look it up on YouTube.
YouTube,
yeah.
Because they get some very rude words on there. It's brilliant.
It's very right. Yeah, the outtake ones. Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, we're going to welcome new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. I can't even say it!
Facebook
group join.
Welcome, new members!
Yes, well, unfortunately, I can't change the name of the group to, in brackets, you can join. I was quite disappointed. Although
you can't put brackets up, can you, or something like that?
No, I just couldn't change the name of it. I wanted to change the name, but it wouldn't let me. So, let's have a look. Oh, that's another thing I've got to look up, actually, to see if you lot are going to be deducted 5 points last week's quiz by the question 4 in regards to the year in which Pride and Prejudice was actually written, according to the Doctor.
I didn't answer that.
It said in my quiz, the answer, didn't you?
No, I didn't answer that one. I couldn't remember. It's my question, I think.
Well, as I didn't answer it at all, does that mean
you don't get anything
plus 5 points?
No, you just said that 5 points ahead of the others. I'm pretty sure it was the Doctor came up to the window and said, no, you got that year wrong, because it was the year before, and that's where the answer was 1796. So, but I might let you off, because I might not...
Wait, what did we say?
I thought it was a different question entirely.
It was a different question.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was.
Therefore, I shall let it slide.
Because I can remember as you were going to deduct me and Mary for something.
I've already said I'll let it slide.
that was a week ago. I don't remember that far back.
Don't worry. Anyway, we've got some new members. Cindy Sinig. Say that.
Cindy Siniglia.
Thank you. Ryan Prince Darkseeker. I'm sure he's been a member before. Yeah. Devon Schmidt. Rob Lansdowne, what happened there? I don't remember him leaving.
No.
He left.
Did he?
Yeah, he did leave.
Did he?
He got fed up.
Did he? Oh. Got fed up with what? Us?
Me.
Yeah. Was it you?
Probably. I annoy a lot of people.
Do you?
Mostly deliberately.
And Jessica Fielding. I wonder if she has any relation to Janet.
Janet, yeah.
So welcome one and all to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, which now has 397 members.
Yay!
Wow, which means that almost 1% of those memberships now listen to the podcast.
Exactly. I upset someone once, didn't I?
Actually, not almost 0.5% of the membership do the podcast.
Or used to, in the case of Reese. Right, so, I think it's...
Where is he these days?
Reese, I don't know, he's...
Is he off being a lovey somewhere?
Yeah, sort of a lovey, isn't he? Yes. Don't let your notes fall off the paper.
I've only just made them.
That's just while I had made a passing reference to the quiz, because...
Wow, slick.
Right, first question. This is, by the way, the question set on this week's episode of Doctor Who. First question goes to Debbie.
Oh, okay.
What does the Doctor first ask Clara to pass him while shackled? That's a wrong question. The guy asked that question. Sorry, I've
got that was a question from my Met.
No, that was just to demonstrate, just so Ben can have some comedy reasons to say saying the word slick again. Right. Okay, right, start again.
Okay.
That was just a...
Red herring.
Sure, it's a live podcast. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Hang on. That's the same bloody question. What's going on?
Are you just bloody sworn?
Well, we're allowed to. It's a canon on Doctor Who now. Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
How many seconds were on the clock when it started?
66.
Oh, I've got to click on this. Is the correct answer. Right. Yay. Kirby.
Master.
Who wrote Mummy on the Orient Express? I'm going to say the word Express.
I don't remember. I'm not going to look it up.
I didn't see Debbie anyone writing anything on the Orient Express.
Debbie, you said I know
Jamie
first.
Jamie Matheson.
Funny, but it is, in fact, the correct answer. Right, Mary.
Yes?
What did the Doctor say to Clara as they arrived?
Cool, you have
something about your train mistress, or whatever you call her. Madam, your train madam.
Well, I'll give you that, because you're on the right lines. It was... Your
train, right
awaits. Yes,
your train awaits my lady. Right then.
Ben?
Yes?
What are the rails the train is riding on actually, according to the Doctor?
Psychic.
No.
What a surprise.
Anybody? Nobody's going to get this one.
Antimatter or something like that?
No. Yeah, I got that. Got the one. The answer is hyperspace ribbons.
Ah, oh, God, I was so close.
Debbie?
Yes?
What song did the songstress sing in the railway carriage?
Don't Stop Me Now.
By...
Queen.
Is the correct answer. Right. Kirby.
I'm having such a good time.
I'm having a ball.
That's what Clara said.
Kirby.
Master?
What type of smile was Clara wearing at the beginning of the story?
A fake smile.
No. Anybody?
It was a sad smile.
Yes. Yeah. Mary.
Yeah.
I've lost.
No, you haven't.
I didn't take any notes, so.
I've only just written mine down as we were going.
I've seen it 4.5 times.
No, you have, but obviously not paying attention. Right, did I say Mary?
Yes.
Yeah, right. What black hole? Did they view?
Oh, the Magellan black hole.
That's an excellent answer.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
one point.
Ben.
I'm not sure why I remember that.
How hot was Clara? That's not the question.
really hot.
On a scale, I'm sure it is.
Yes.
57.
What is the question that is never asked often enough?
What kind of doc? What is he a doctor of?
Is the correct answer.
Yay! Very
good. I got one!
That's gonna be a...
More than that.
So the score's in after those questions at the moment with no points whatsoever. I didn't even have to introduce any. It's still no points. That's Kirby in third place with 2 points. Ben in second place. He's fallen off his sharing. In second place with 4 points is Mary. And in the lead with 6 points is Smarty Pants Debbie, whose question is...
I'm losing and
after
one round.
She's getting easy questions.
Right, yeah, then. I must admit.
Debbie?
Yes.
What was the Doctor looking at when he first met Perkins?
Oh, I know.
It was the... it was Gus's something or other. I can't remember.
Okay, go. And then Ben said, "I know first."
It was the life support machine thing.
But what was it in?
It was in the Orient Express.
That's
where the whole episode was.
Yeah, I'm going to give you that one. The answer was
Master.
What?
It was in Mrs. Pitt's chair.
Yes, it's Excelsior Life Extender. So I'm going to give that to Ben. Thank you very much.
Oh, I said Excelsior.
It was in her chair.
The Life Extender. Oh, right, be quiet.
I get a point.
No, you don't. Right, who's going? That was your question. So this is Kirby's question.
Master.
Right. How did the Doctor introduce himself to Perkins? Debbie obviously knows his
name. You said it earlier, so go ahead. I've lost.
No, you don't know that one. Anybody? Good. How did the Doctor introduce himself to Perkins? Anybody?
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
No, he said the Doctor, Nosy Parker.
Oh, yes, that's correct. He did.
Mary.
Yes.
What did Maisie use to open the lock?
heel of her shoe.
Is the correct answer. Right, Ben.
Hello.
Emil Morehouse was a professor of what?
Emil Morehouse.
Mm. Emil Morehouse was a professor of what?
Ah, right. Yes. He was a professor of...
Yes.
It's not on Wikipedia.
I know.
Actually, I'm on FIFA 15 selling this.
I know.
Some sort of engineering stuff.
Is the wrong answer. Go on then, Kirby.
Professor of Alien Mythology.
Oh my goodness. It's that and it's a that. Finally got one right. Yeah. Right, so, Debbie.
Yes.
How long ago did the myth of the foretold first appear?
A long time ago in a galaxy
I know.
Far away. Was it?
I know.
Stop creeping up on these points, Kirby. I'm determined not to come last.
Was it like 1,000 years, something, 2,000 years?
No, stop running through all the thousands of years, Kirby.
5,000 years.
I would have got there at the end.
3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000.
She would have gotten there eventually.
Right. Yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
Who was the foretold's second victim?
The cook, the chef.
Is the correct answer. Mary.
Yes.
That's where it was, isn't it? Oh, you're right. What was the name of the old woman that died?
I just said that.
Well, you shouldn't have done that.
Was it Pitts? Mrs. Pitts?
That'll do. So you should have kept gobshot, Kirby. And Ben.
Hello.
What is Quell's worst nightmare?
Right, to answer that question, I first need to work out who Quell is.
Yeah.
Being killed by a mummy
is not the right answer.
Without a gun in his hand
is not the right answer. Right, okay. The answer is
missing Frank Skinner doing shopper.
Mystery shopper.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He was the train manager bloke, was he?
Yeah.
Yes, you said that. I might have had a chance.
Oh, I do apologise. Right then, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
What does Quell have a certificate for?
No idea.
Oh, I've pressed on the wrong thing. That's not right. That's wrong thing. It's this one. I was just expecting you to get it right.
No,
right then,
I didn't
it's
get
wrong
it
answer.
Right
then, yes. Anybody know what he's got a certificate for?
Is it like bronze swimming certificate? Like?
Really? Hey, you didn't get that one. Then the answer was bravery. Deary me, I'm doing well on this one. So who's next? Oh, that would be Kirby.
Kirby.
Why has everybody disappeared? Oh, they've all disappeared. Somebody on the phone.
This is Sylvester Mackay, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes, we were all chatting over where you decided not to join us.
Deb phoned, someone phoned in, and Deb took the call, and it just cut off all the internet connections.
Completely cut off Skype, yeah. Skype is interrupted.
Let me go to the other people and tell them to answer your call, okay? So hang on.
Don't see why I have to do that. I'm just calling them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there we go. Hang on, what's going on here?
Answer. Hello, everybody.
Hang on, that Kirby's on the other line.
Yeah, now I'm getting a call from Kirby as well.
For God's sake. Right.
This That's really better. Is worse than a Stephen Moffat scripted story arc.
Yeah.
Kirby's been awkward. It was Kirby's question, but he's off on a different call.
Yeah, Kirby's interfering. He should have just waited for me to reinitiate all the calls.
Well, no, because after it all disconnected, we then reconnected. Okay. And
are we back?
Yes. I'm dealing with the call bit.
Right. Kirby's the next question.
Someone's coming through the letterbox. Looks like the same stuff. Okay, right then. What happened there was somebody phoned. Deb answered the phone in the other room and cut us all off.
Mm-hmm. So that was Sky Internet.
For you.
So basically, on the Isle of Wight, when someone phones into the Isle of Wight, the whole of the internet goes.
The whole of it went down.
Everyone in the whole of the Isle of Wight's internet just went down.
Therefore, my chances of getting this as a live podcast are now dismally failed, which means now I have to cut out a great big chunk.
It was just you and me trying to work out what was going on. It's quite amusing.
We're up to the bit.
I got all the questions right when you were.
Yeah, that's right.
Apparently, this is Kirby's question, according to Debbie.
Yes, it is.
Mm. All right. Now I've got to find it. There we go. Dear Kirby.
Master. All
right. What did the doctor guess was affecting the sonic screwdriver?
Some sort of suppression field.
Some sort of correct answer. Right, Mary.
Yeah.
What did the doctor say?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
When he was handcuffed. Was that Mary's question? Yes, Mary's question.
When he was handcuffed?
Yes.
I don't remember him.
I didn't hear the question. Repeat the question.
What did the doctor say when he was handcuffed?
I don't remember him being handcuffed, so I don't know.
He was.
You didn't get that one. I take it nobody's going to come up with the answer.
No.
Well, the answer then, I mean, you didn't get that one. He said, I'm going to have to mark you down for this.
Oh, yes.
Right, whose question was that?
That was Kirby's question.
Was it?
No, that was my question.
But therefore, this is Ben's question.
Mm.
What were the fake passengers?
Holograms.
I'm going to give you that one. It was hard like holograms, but it's near enough.
Yes.
Right, so after those questions, the scores at the moment are in last place with 5 points, it's Ben. In joint second place with 6 points each, it's Smarty Pants Debbie and Kirby. And in the lead with 8 points, it's Mary.
Really?
Yay! Really? I don't remember answering that many questions.
Right, so this is Debbie's question. Yes? Never mind. Debbie.
Yes.
I'm going to change my name to Debbie as well, just to make it ultra confusing.
What is the sarcophagus for? Yeah, what's the sarcophagus for? What's it there for?
Storing bubble wrap.
Is not the right answer. Anybody?
It's a stasis field for holding the mummy.
Yeah, but I'll give you a point for that. It's not quite what I was looking for. The answer I was looking for was it was there for holding the foretold once it was caught. Right.
That's not what you said.
Right, Kirby. Kirby! who was the last person to be killed by the foretold?
I think I do.
I don't remember any characters called
It wasn't the professor. It may be the professor.
Stop going for each character. I think it's wrong. It was Quell. Yes. Thank you very much. Right.
Was it someone called Debbie?
It wasn't Marianne after the professor.
Mary.
Yeah. Okay.
What do
I can
people
hear you
with guns? What do people with guns to their head not have time to do?
Oh, I remember him saying that. To mourn for a moment.
That is the correct answer. Right, Ben.
Hello.
What does the doctor say to make the mummy dissolve to dust?
I surrender, we surrender.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Off duty dismissed.
No.
Oh. No. The answer was, you're relieved, soldier. Mm. Right. So therefore, the scores, not the answers. The scores at the moment, in last place with 5 points, Ben.
I was too busy looking at Clara.
with a joint second place, with 7 points each, Debbie and Kirby. And in the lead, Mary with 10. And this is Debbie's question.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even have any notes.
What did Clara ask the doctor if he was pretending to be?
Happy?
No, that's a Pharrell's.
Because I'm happy.
Anybody? Yeah. Didn't get that one then. The answer was...
I couldn't hear
Oh,
we'll
ask the question again. Right. What did Clara ask the doctor if he was pretending to be?
Never mind.
was she asking if the doctor was asking if he's pretending to be a brain surgeon?
No, he was asking if he was pretending to be heartless. Right.
Heartless, that's it.
Yeah, there you go.
As opposed to heart now.
Right.
I've lost where I am there. Whose question was that one originally? Nobody answered me. We don't get any points for that one.
Whose question was it?
Who had that question originally before we eventually arrived at the wrong answers?
It was either Mary or Kirby or Debbie.
It wasn't mine.
Okay, so who was originally asked the question? Did Clara ask the doctor? It was you, wasn't it, Deb?
All right.
Right, so there you go.
Yeah,
Kirby.
I said happy, didn't I? Yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
What did Perkins think needs replacing on the TARDIS?
Some sort of modules of something.
Is the wrong answer. Anybody?
Battery.
Is also the wrong answer. The answer is drive stacks. Right, Mary.
What?
Yeah.
What does Clara ask the doctor what being the man who makes the impossible choice is like?
Whoa, that was a convoluted question. Yeah, can you ask it again? Yeah.
What does Clara ask the doctor what being the man who makes the impossible choice is like?
Oh, like an addiction?
Is the correct answer. So it wasn't that convoluted because you got the answer right. Ben!
Still here.
Right. What did Clara ask the doctor to do at the end of the story?
Oh, wow. Was this in the version that was broadcast or the one in my head?
Oh, yes, I know this one. Yes. I know this one, yeah.
She asked him to carry on taking her with him.
No, right, the answer is going to be given to me by Debbie.
Is it Show Me Bushes?
I beg your pardon?
Isn't that what she said?
No,
I thought that's what she said.
No, the answer was Shut Up and Give Me Some Planets.
Well, that's it, because he was talking about a planet covered in bushes.
Was he?
Yes,
it
was.
Yes,
she said, give him some planets.
Yes,
goodness
no.
sake. Honestly, where I get you lot from. Innuendo.
Yes. Right. Exactly, Adam, you found us all on the internet.
I'm not in the at the moment.
Two questions left. It's a free-for-all. First free-for-all question is this. Who played? Yes! Is this an extra point? I didn't even get...
Well done.
That's correct. They got it right. Kirby.
What was the question?
I just said, who played? And I didn't get the rest of the question out, which was Perkins, and you said Frank Skinner as I was saying the question, which was the correct answer.
Oh.
Right.
I've answered questions like that.
Yeah. All right, last question then, free for all.
Foxes.
Is the correct answer. Yes, the question would have been, who played the singer? Yes, there we go. Yes. Yeah, go on then, Kirby.
Do you know what her real first name is?
No.
No, you're going to tell me. That's not one of the questions.
Louisa.
Mintz.
Louise. Oh, Louisa.
Louisa.
Right. Right, better do the scores then. In last place, or should I get out peeping over my...
I don't know.
I'll get a point deducted for peeping over my shoulder.
What? Looking at one?
In joint last place, with 7 points each, it's Debbie and Kirby.
Yes.
I mean,
you find
yes.
everyone called Debbie to argue with Adam.
In second place, with a something that really does require one of these, is Ben with 10 points, and in the lead, which also requires one of these, is Mary, the winner, with 12 points.
Yay!
In months, yes.
Oh, no,
doubt that. Yeah. I think you've won more recently than that.
What did you
That's what I
garbage?
Thought.
What do you catch? Hang on, we're playing
recently.
Wrong part of the theme. This is the right part.
Debbie and Kirby are always the winner.
That was slick.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that says quiz to me all the time. It just says, here's a quiz.
So I think what's the other thing we have to do, Debbie? It was it was Mary reciting our sponsor's URL. Mary.
Whowon.co.uk.
Yeah.
It is whowon.co.
Lavarzi.co.uk.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm getting better.
Yes, you are. You're getting better all the time.
I was thinking of the Shed 7.
Yeah, we would say those sponsors more often if they'd send us little tokens of
yes, true.
Sponsorship.
Yes. I was just singing a Beatles song there, which, of course, there is a book out called the Beatles Quiz Book, which I wrote, which needs to sell a few more copies before I actually get any royalties.
I've actually got loads of those downloaded copies as well, Adam, that I'm willing to sell.
Well, apparently I've got to have enough copies sold that it gets past the £50 threshold. Unfortunately, I sold quite a few, but not enough to get past the £50 threshold. So I haven't had any royalties from any of my books.
How much are you selling it for?
I'm not selling it. It's Amazon and iTunes are selling it. Not very much.
How much is not very
around
much?
Around the £3 mark.
So you haven't even sold 15?
No. I don't know. I think it was about
25
copies.
Do you know how many
copies.
Beatles fans there are in the world, mate? Seriously.
About 25 copies. I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway, it's not enough to get any actual physical royalties.
What we're going to do this week is everyone is going to say they will go out and buy your downloadable copy of the Beatles quiz book.
And the Rolling Stones quiz book. And the 101 Interesting Facts About Doctor Who book, which has only just come out, and the Diary of an Unwilling Virgin, and the Troy to Man. What else have I got out?
You've got the World Cup quiz book.
That's doing quite well. I didn't get any royalties for it. What, the rugby quiz book? That's doing quite well. Didn't get any royalties for it. I've got 5 copies of the Leicester City quiz book sitting on my shelf over there. There they are, Deb.
Seems like it's a really good occupation you've got.
Can you imagine Leicester City fans buying anything like that? Are there any Leicester City fans in the world?
Yes, Gary Lineker.
Oh, is he? I should get him to buy one. Right then, so yes, whowon.co.uk has 12th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver.
Yay!
Well, what's the difference between the 12th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver and the 11th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver? I can't see much, actually.
The label.
Thank you, Kirby.
Right, so... I like that buzz sound effect on there.
That's rather look like the...
Yes.
So that's whowon.co.uk. Let's have a quick look at Lavarzi, shall we?
I've got them up already. There you go.
I beg your pardon. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Lavarzi, I've got some stuff.
There.
Lavarzi, yeah, I've got some stuff that I want, one of which I have got, that which is that scarf there. I have that one, which
this
is the
one.
Fourth
look,
Doctor's
look
standard scarf. But I would like, please, Debbie, is the question mark pullover... I'm not so fussed about the Paisley Seventh Doctor's scarf, but I do want the pullover. I do want the Series 18 scarf, if you wouldn't mind, Debbie. And the Dalek scarf.
Yeah.
So all these items, and possibly a version of the First Doctor scarf may be coming soon on there as well.
Yes.
So go to lavarzi.co.uk where you can see stuff like that.
News?
Oh, news, yes, good point, yes. How could I forget news? Is there any... Yes, Kirby.
Apparently, the ratings for the Mummy were pretty good.
Were they?
Yeah.
Barry Summerford died.
Okay, well, let me get to that part.
There we are. Yeah.
Should jump in ahead, right there, Marion.
The
overnight viewing figures.
You asked. I said yes.
It was a rhetorical question. 5.08 million viewers watched Mummy on the Orient Express, which is quite good considering it was up against X Factor.
And it was on at 8:37 p.m, making it the latest showing for the series in its entire history.
Wow.
Because Strictly ran over.
Ran over
something.
What? Well, the Mummy.
Strictly ran over Doctor Who?
Yeah.
I thought the TARDIS was impregnable.
Well, unless...
I'll tell you, the masses hold of Genghis Khan can get through those doors, but Tess Daly...
Oh, dear.
I hate Tess Daly. God, that face she pulls every time she thinks she's
Claudia
telling
Winkleman
a joke.
Claudia Winkleman that irritates me.
But no, I don't mind Winkleman. But Tess Daly, as I say, every time she thinks she tells a joke, she kind of screws her face up in a kind of anti-funny type way. And all I think is, if I was close to you, I would punch you. Your stupid nose.
Moving on.
Bring back Bruce. Bring back
yeah,
Bruce.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Bring back Bruce.
I have to wheel him on. Right. Kill the Moon. Final ratings of 6.91 million. Again,
too bad.
Australian overnight viewing figures for Mummy and the Orient Express.
526,000.
Murray, what's that? The AI, which was
AI
audience
appreciation.
Yeah, yeah,
audience appreciation.
Yes, 85. Is that good?
That's pretty good. Yeah, considering what it's up against. Yeah.
Barry Summerfield, sorry, third. Sorry, Summer Third. Died the age of 71. That's quite young, really.
He was a Vogan.
Yeah. Was he?
Yeah, Vogan, not Vogon.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so, and he was in Revenge of the Cybermen as Shreve in Rebus Operation. Oh, no, that's when he was Shreve in Rebus Operation.
As Shreve, yeah.
Vogon in Vogan in Revenge. I'm trying to point my finger at the screen.
Cybermen, yeah.
Shreve in Rebus Operation, this is slick.
And a Foster in the Foster Keeper of Track.
What you just said. Yeah, so again, as we talked about this a few weeks ago, Ben is right. Somebody in Doctor Who is going to die most weeks because there's so many people that have been in it.
It's like Star Trek if they wear a red jumper.
Yeah. Played a monster.
In
there
Space
you go.
And Time has been nominated for an Emmy.
Oh, brilliant.
Probably won't get it, but
what's it up against?
Alexander and Other Heroes, Radio, and Entiermittel, whatever that is, German stuff.
It's,
I did it in French accent.
Yeah, like Entiermittel. It's Entiermittel and Safata.
Pardon?
With the mother, with the father.
Oh, right. Lala Ward, Time Capsule, new book for celebrating Lala Ward's adventures as intrepid Time Lady Romana in Doctor Who, has been released by Phantom Films.
I thought it was a book.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I love the second Romana.
And I think, NTAs, National Television Awards, voting has opened. So, obviously, I'm only going to vote for Doctor Who. So that's about it for news this week.
Okay.
So that's only the National Television Awards can only be voted on by British.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, yes. I suppose.
I'm voting for X Factor.
Isn't Alistair Pearson a friend of yours?
He is a friend of mine. Why? What's he done?
Well, what you skipped over on the Lala Ward piece.
Yes.
Is a mention of him in this is stunning original artwork by top Doctor Who artists Alistair Pearson and Andrew Skeletor.
Okay. Thank you for picking up on that, and I do apologise. He doesn't listen to the show, so I won't get into trouble with that.
Master keeps missing things. You missed even the thing with the jelly babies and the cigarette case.
Yeah, well, I've been busy this week. Sorry. That's my excuse, and that's the one I'm sticking to. Okay. So, that essentially is it. Next week, what's it called, Deb? Pardon?
I can't remember what next week's called.
Doctor Who's on next week, and we'll be looking into it. But I don't know what day we're going to be recording on.
Scroll down, it was up there.
Was it? Was up there, was it? Where?
Flatline.
Oh, Flatline, there you go. It was a film called Flatline. It was actually quite
good. It was
Kiefer Sutherland. Yes, it was a very good film, that was.
Julia Roberts.
What's her name? Yeah. Cool woman who was in Pretty Woman. Yeah. Julia Roberts. And they all kept on killing each other to see if there was life
after
them.
Very, very good film. And also, talking about trains, there was an old TV series in America called The Time Train, which I used to quite enjoy as well. But anyway, that's about it for this week. Thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Don't know when we're going to be recording about next
week.
I'm
free. Saturday, free, Sunday, yeah. Monday.
So we'll decide that a bit later on.
I've got a week off.
Maybe.
when will we decide it?
In a minute. And after I've said goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.